remember, particularly at this time. So one of the ways that we can express our unity together and the way we sustain each other and encourage each other is by just having a time to share about what the Lord has been doing in our lives. So we've got 20 minutes or so now for people just to have an opportunity to speak at the microphone about what we've experienced God doing in our lives. I've asked three people to go first, but then after that, it really is open microphone time. So I'm going to hand over first of all to our sister Anne Morris, who's going to share with us, and then we'll hear from Ben after that. Over to you, Anne.
Thank you, Arthur. Wow, it's been a very difficult time, but I've just been so incredibly blessed with the amount of teaching and input that other Christians have been giving to me, particularly, I'm so blessed with the Antioch when we had the morning prayers, and I was also at that time having morning prayers with my own church. We were doing that every day at one point, and Gunnersbury. Well, now I'm with my church with Berrymead, and I just felt after Friday morning that I was just so blessed up, or was it Wednesday? I can't remember now. But together, what we do in our church, whoever's leading it has a passage, and they read it and make one or two of their own comments, and then it's over to yourself. And we read Hebrews 11 as a fellowship, and it just blew my mind. And I can say one of the biggest things I think I've got out of this whole lockdown and difficulties is the incredible amount of richness that people have inputted me, of course, from Antioch, of Gunnersbury Baptist, and my own church. And I've just been so incredibly blessed, and I know that I've been able to move forward in my Christian life because I've been sat down, as it were, by the Lord, and I've been given such a rich feast, and I just praise God. It shouldn't have took all this this business for me to sit down more and take in more fellowship. Well, that's the way it was. God chooses all different ways to get us where he wants us. But I am just so thrilled. And I want to give you a verse from a familiar verse from Malachi that sums it all up. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Praise God. The more that we can talk about Jesus to one another, the more that we can share. And I imagine that bit in Malachi wouldn't have referred to just, oh, hi, have a nice day type of thing and general things of life. The people of God were talking to each other about what God was showing them, what God was doing in their lives. And praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the lovely opportunity you've given me for growth through such rich fellowship. Amen.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, Ben. Thank you so much, Anne. That's really encouraging. And for those that want to know the verse again, it's Malachi 3:16.
Yes.
Ben, over to you, Ben.
Okay, sorry. Thanks, Arthur. Thanks, Anne. Okay, right. So This is really, I had the fortune to actually do a testimony a few months back about the remarkable things that happened. So it's good to actually have a chance to follow up on this 6 months after it's happened in terms of the working from home. Now, as an AFC Wimbledon fan, I'm used to us winning against all odds, because every game we play is against teams that are bigger than us. So I'm a born optimist, and I've had to be because of that. So, but for the government to actually move their mass staff to working from home was quite remarkable, quite remarkable. So this is what I've called working from home follow-up, the sequel. So where are we now, 6 months further on down the line with this? Well, firstly, I've got a Bible passage, Matthew 7:20. By your fruit, you will recognize him. So now we're beginning to see the fruits coming through of that decision. The key thing is the dynamic at home has changed. A few months ago, everyone was at home. The kids were at home, homeschooling. Gina was at home on furlough. But things have changed 6 months down the line. The kids are back at school, and Gina's back working 2 days a week. But the big advantage of being at home is that Gina and I are with each other 3 days a week. So any decisions that need to be taken, they don't have to wait till the evenings. They can be done during the day, in between my breaks, or in a couple of minutes in between. So things are not like, don't get to fester till the evenings, or worse at the weekends, because I was so tired in the evenings when I came back. That really suffered. So the biggest thing that's changed is relationships, which I'll come on to when I talk about my working hours. My working hours have changed from generally 10 to 6 during lockdown to more often or 8 to 5, 4 or 5 o'clock. It basically means I'm a lot fresher in the evenings. I can help the kids out, and my relationship with them has deepened as a result of this, because actually seeing me reasonably awake rather than asleep when in the evening, so it's much better. I'm also able to get to bed a lot earlier, at 8 or 9 o'clock as opposed to 9 or 10 o'clock as we were doing. So that's really benefited us the other side of the day. So in terms of relationships and harmony, yes, things have changed from us all being there at the same time to actually now me being there and seeing the kids at different times of the day, and seeing Gina for 3 days a week. The other thing that, strangely enough, has improved is my relationships with the people at work. Now, that sounds on the face of it quite an odd thing to say, bearing in mind I'm not seeing them face to face every day. But in my job, it's very much you're a self-contained advisor. So you did your own job at the day, you sat at your desk, and then you generally went home without really talking to anyone in depth. But because you are working, you can actually call them up on the computer and actually have a chat with them on the computer for actually far longer than you would in the workplace. So it's interesting how the dynamics of work have actually improved as a result of the decision to move mass home working. So that's really the other thing that will happen. Now, I've no idea what will happen 6 months down the line, but it'd be good to come back in 6 months' time to see how the dynamic has changed again, if it has. But as I said, God's been moving in remarkable ways, and it's certainly produced fruit I never expected to see in my lifetime. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Ben. Is it by any chance your birthday today?
I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Well, a very happy birthday from all of Antioch to you, Ben.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ben. That's great. So just how God's been changing relationships in the midst of COVID-19. And it's lovely to see you sitting next to your lovely daughter there as well. Robert Doyle, are you there?
I am, yeah. Can you hear me?
Fantastic. Okay, this is the last prepared sharing, and then it's open mic after that. Robert, over to you.
Well, first of all, I just have to say happy birthday again to Ben. So there you go, Ben. Yeah, this is kind of an everyday sharing, really. It's from last week or this week just gone. And just really about how the Lord touched me personally in a challenge that I was facing. And it's kind of an ordinary, everyday kind of thing. Nothing huge, but yet just something that the Lord touched me personally in. So I just thought I'd share about that. It's to do with actually a challenge that I faced at work. I won't go into my work, but just that's kind of the context for it. I work in IT, and I was responsible for a piece of work that had to be done. And right at the very end of this, a major problem occurred that I was kind of responsible for, you know, sort of solving in a way. to make sure that we could, you know, progress. And it was the worst time ever. I was about to, well, the weekend was coming up. In fact, I've got some leave next week. And I was thinking I'm going to have to work the weekend, might have to push the leave back. And it was just sort of really weighing on me. And, you know, we'd done all the right things. A number of us had tried to solve this. You know, all the efforts of man, as it were, had been applied to this problem. And kind of all the right things had been done and tried. And to no avail. So kind of we'd reached the end of our efforts. And I sort of went home that sort of night with this sort of weighing on me, thinking, no, it's, you know, the last thing I need. And then what happened was I sort of left it there. In the morning, I sort of just prayed really as normally. And then sort of went into work. And I've got this sort of journey that I make into work when I've got about half an hour or so of sort of clear time when I can just sort of, you know, think or do anything during the journey. And I was really tempted just to kind of work the problem and just spend the whole half an hour worrying about this on the way in. And I just felt the Lord prompting me at the start through my prayer time earlier just to kind of give it to him. And because, you know, I couldn't do anything anyway, what can I do other than worry for half an hour about this? And I kind of, so I thought, fine, no, I'll, Lord, you know, I'm just sort of leaving this with you. But that is so hard to do. You know, it's easier said than done. And so I was kind of just wrestling with this. Lord, can I trust you to just sort of leave this problem with you? And as I was wrestling with this very thing, I just sort of pushed my button onto the radio, onto Premier Radio, which happened to be on that channel. And Premier Radio burst into this worship song that it was right in the middle of, which I hadn't heard before. Some of you might know it, actually. And the chorus line that just suddenly burst out was to do with needing a miracle. And then as I listened further, it was talking about something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, when you can no longer do it on your own, and when you kind of reach the end of your own efforts, you can't do it on your own. And then again, the chorus line coming again, you know, then you need a miracle. And it was just the coincidence of the timing, me just pressing that button and hearing that verse as I was wrestling with that very thing in my mind at that time. And so I listened to the rest of the song and then switched it off and just sort of responded to the Lord and said, yeah, you know, that's me. I actually need that miracle. And of course, it wasn't life or death, but it was something important to me. And I just knew that at that time, the Lord was sort of touching me and basically encouraging me to say, it's okay, just leave that with me, you know, and put it down. And so I just spent the rest of the half an hour just kind of praying normally and didn't worry about that at all. And I was able to give the rest of that time over to the Lord, as it were, which in itself was a good thing. Anyway, so I get into work and immediately a colleague comes up to me as I get to my desk and just says straight off, you know, that problem sorted. It's all sorted. Don't worry about it. And it turned out to be something really, really sort of hidden that we'd looked at, but that we hadn't quite looked at. It was basically against all the odds. You know, we didn't think it could be that. But essentially, you know, right from the off, I had my day freed up effectively because of this. So I was just so thankful. I said to this guy, I've been praying about this because, you know, we'd reached the end of our efforts on it. And then I went out and I prayed about it at lunchtime, just giving God thanks because it kind of just touched me so much that it was kind of a mini miracle, if you like, just through the timing of it, just through God's word through the radio and how I've been wrestling with that. And as I kind of went home that night and I was just reflecting on the whole thing and I was thinking, you know, what was good about it was that it wasn't so much that the problem was solved. I mean, sometimes those things, you know, sometimes I do have a bad time at work, you know, and things can be horrendous. But it was the fact that the Lord touched me. And so I felt that the Lord had built me up in faith through that. He'd let that challenge, or he'd used that challenge to kind of lift my head up to him, to make me look up to him in a deeper way than I'd done in my prayer time, because I was actually having to really engage with the Lord rather than kind of being more tick box kind of approach and just kind of going through the motions. And I was really having to kind of, you know, wrestle with the Lord. And so he was getting my attention and he was sort of saying to me, you know, look, you know, I go before you. You know, he was going ahead of me. He knew what was ahead of me before I did. And he's able to sort anything. And just that sense of that, whatever challenges, you know, I face, big or small, the Lord is there in them, you know, and we know how much that is the case. And I was thinking of Psalm 139, where it talks about, you know, you hem me in before and behind, you know, before I sit and before I rise, you know. And that sense of just, again, the Lord wanted to meet with me. The Lord wanted that meeting with me to get my attention again in a deep way. And I was so distracted and he needed to use that to do it. And I thought, that's true of all of us all the time. The Lord wants to meet with all of us. He always does. And it's often it's the Lord who wants to meet with us more than we want to, as it were, really engage with him. So I just encourage anybody really from this, you know, to just know that the Lord knows you. He knows your steps. He knows, you know, everything ahead of what you're going into. And challenges, big or small, the Lord wants to meet you in them. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. Okay. Thank you very much, Robert. So, brothers and sisters, we've got time for one or two more short sharings, or possibly three if they're really short. So microphone's yours, grab it quickly.
Hello. This is very quick, but over lockdown, it was very, like, at the beginning, it was very hard for school. Like, everything was breaking down. Our computer broke down, I think, twice, I think. And it was just getting very annoying because online schooling, I wasn't able to get into the Microsoft team meetings. Some of my schoolwork wasn't going through. I remember some of my exams didn't actually go through. So I got like really bad grades, even though like they weren't actually my full grades. So we were struggling a lot. And then like a few weeks later on, someone calls my mom and they're like, you know, are you struggling with schoolwork or something like that? And my mom like sort of ignored it. She's just like, I don't really talk to this person. Like, why is she asking? And then she said it again. And it was like, so my mom said, yeah, like the computer isn't working. Gigi's having this stuff wrong and it's hard for her to do her schoolwork. And then like, she was like, okay, I'll buy a MacBook Pro. Like, I didn't know about this. I only found out when it came. But like, and then a week later, my mum was like, open this present. I was like, why am I getting a present, you know? And I just get this MacBook and it's like, it's a miracle because I didn't expect anyone to get me a MacBook, like maybe my parents, but this lady, I've never actually seen her in my life. Like, I've never seen her. And I don't really know who she is. And she just comes along with this MacBook. I'm like, what? And it's just good because it's brought my grades up. Well, like, we haven't really got grades. But, like, it's brought my schoolwork up and it's just helped so much. And I also think it's, like, because over lockdown, I was actually trying to like improve like my behavior, like my mentality, like all that stuff. And I think it's just God's reward, if you call it that. Yeah.
Thanks, George and Grace. That's lovely. And that's just what God does for us as well, isn't it? He surprises us with his love and kindness. Thank you.
Can I go next?
Go, Stephen.
Okay, so just something about teaching and me over lockdown. So in March, it was really quite a tricky time for me. I just finished my second placement at another school down in the West London area, which was really hard. And it wasn't a very good school and I was teaching pretty badly there. And I'd come back to Cardinal Vaughan and there was a lot of pressure at that point there was one week where I had this one lesson that I was going to get observed on and I had to do really well on it. I would have been put into special measures or something. And I also had two job interviews the same week. one for a very well-regarded local school and one for one that I hadn't really heard of. And preparing for these interviews took loads of time, and I had to get this lesson to be really good so that I could sort of keep going. But I just managed to kind of get through it all, and I was offered a job by both schools. Some interesting circumstances then happened, and I ended up at the school where that I hadn't really heard of. It was a bit of a wild card. I didn't really know if it would work out that well. But just, you know, a half term into the job, I'm so glad I'm there. It's very supportive. They really appreciate me, and I can do really good things there. And God also used the time in lockdown. Well, I was able to use it to get a lot of the coursework side of things done in a way that would have been really hard had I been normally teaching. So just grateful to God for providing that job and for how lockdown happened for me and how I was able to get some rest there. And yeah, that's the sharing.
Brilliant. Thank you, Stephen. Right, time for one really quick one, otherwise we'll move on.
Okay, I'm jumping in. Just want to thank the Lord for all the love and support and help I've had this week since I broke my elbow last Sunday, from community, obviously, from friends, from family, from staff at two hospitals, and from the Lord directing the operations. I am sure that everybody is being prompted by his love, and I want to thank people who are here for what they've done for me this week especially. So thank you, Lord. Amen.
We love you, Nadia.
Yeah,
hey.
Amen.
Okay, can I get everybody to come off mute for a minute and maybe just give a clap offering to the Lord before we move on? I've gone over, apologies to everybody, we've gone over the hour, but can I suggest that we just do two last things? One is to take a very quick time of intercession, and then have a closing song. And while we're having the closing song, Eleanor's got the unenviable task of getting 50 people into chat rooms. So you're welcome to stay around afterwards and join our chat rooms. But let's continue to keep our...